step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again. This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 382. I am Lisa Sheps, and I'm along with my co-hosts, Nicole Shiro and Nick Mayo, Nick Squared. And you are listening to us on KOOP Hornsby Austin 91.7 FM, streaming live, as always, on KOOP.org. Remember, if it's theater, it's on Offstage and On the Air.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Yeah. Step right up, feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh yeah.
It is Wednesday, October 12th. On the show today, we have Crank Collective and their shows, Texas Comedies, featuring the true story of Bonnie and Clyde and more. Also, we have our very dear friends later on in the show, the Austin Theater Project. They will be showing off their production of Sweeney Todd, as you know, is the demon barber of Fleet Street. And of course, we'll have a lively discussion of the world of theater in Austin, Chicago, New York, Bloomington, Illinois, and elsewhere. Stick with us. I'll tell you, you know, it's not often we get the German songs going here.
We did with Rocky Das Musical.
We did, and that's what made me think of that. And so this, of course, is a Schickenader Das Musical, which we're going to talk about in a second.
Let me tell you something. I was like, don't even ask me to say that. I'll just say Schadenfreude.
Schadenfreude.
We like, you know, that's so, right. You got to say it wrong.
I just need to shout out to Kim Simpson and the International Folk Bazaar. What an incredible show.
I was out in the studio accosting him before we came on going, your show is so good today.
Incredible. And this was the Indian Folk Festival, I think, that we talked about last week.
Yes.
And they did that, and I swore I would remember what it was called.
I can't remember the name of it.
It's sort of like throat singing, but they do this crazy stuff with their voice, and it's amazing.
Did you know that young girl was only 12?
She was great. So I'm going to suggest, for those of you that just tuned into Offstage and On the Air, you can go to our site and go back and listen to International Folk Bazaar in the stream, because it's worth
it. Kim was rocking it.
It's
today
on the stream for, I believe it's there for a week, so you have a week to go back and listen to it. So Kim Simpson, you rock the party.
Yes, you do.
There you go. Checking in with Nick Squared.
Nick Squared.
We're here.
That's good.
We always say we're going to work on a song, but
Nicole Shiro, you're
happened.
Sort of doing the Geordie look there for a second. She was doing this.
Yes, I know. And the fact that you pulled out a science fiction reference right now that was somewhat, you know, Star Trek related.
Star Trek The Next Generation.
I'm not quite sure what to do. I mean, I love it.
Pretty
but that
easy.
Was
the bar is pretty low for that one.
That was
so how are you guys?
Unexpected.
I'm doing good.
We're here.
Doing
yeah,
good.
You're a sweaty...
I'm a sweaty mess today.
Sweaty mess.
I've been doing some work with Pop Austin.
I was going to say, I don't know if anybody watches Pitch Perfect 2, which I watch every time it's on, but the German guy says, you are a heated mess. A mess in which heat is applied and becomes more messy. So you're a hot mess.
It's like
I like that.
Ad.
That is, yeah, that's pretty hilarious.
So I want to introduce everybody that's here. We have a room full of veterans
it's
of our show. So this
in
is
the
great.
House.
So starting with Josh Meindertsma.
Hello. Hi.
Hello.
From Los Angeles.
And John Cecil.
Hi.
Hi. And now we'll test David Blackburn's mic and see if it works.
Why, hello.
It works.
Oh,
excellent.
My God.
Joe Pinrod.
Hello there.
And the incomparable Kathy Sheridan.
Good morning, Lisa Sheets.
And Jeff Hinkle will be here later. So we've got lots
it's
of...
It's just a party.
So we had a couple of openings this week. One of them was, Holiday Inn. Or was that last week? No, it's this week.
It was this week, right?
It was this week.
You made me think
the
about
times
the week.
Was... So when you looked at the... did anybody see it or hear it, anything?
I read some reviews.
Did you see it? Have you seen it?
I didn't see it, but
I so want to see it.
It's a great cast.
It's a great cast. It's a I think it's a great show.
I was
show.
Like, I like the story and
but
the
they're,
show.
They're
yeah.
billing it as Irving Berlin's new musical, and that's not right. That's I have to say I disagree with that. But when you looked at the Did He Like It page, there's thumbs down from the Times and thumbs up from everybody else.
That's never happened before. In the history of theatrical criticism, right. it's never happened.
Charles Isherwood, you would think, he's usually nicer than that. But let me find my sheet of paper and say what I wanted to talk about here.
It's a pretty phenomenal cast. It's Laura Lee Gaynor, it's Bryce Pinkham, it's Megan Sikora, it's Cordon Bleu. Cordon Bleu.
I was like, Cordon Bleu is a chicken, but that sounds really good.
I like Cordon Bleu.
It's Cordon
Bleu. Cordon Dark.
I'm hungry now.
Ooh, la, la.
I was really proud that I pulled up all those names out of my brain.
Yeah,
and
I was just about to go. That was
dish.
Pretty good. That's, yeah. You know what? A mighty fine chicken dish at that.
I called him a chicken dish, which you is how him you chicken pronounced
Cordon,
the first song
Corbin
that was played.
Corbin Burnt. What's his name? Corbin. Corbin Bleu.
Bleu. Bleu is the
I like Cordon Bleu.
I mean, Colonel Mustard.
We're going to talk about
that. We are
going to
talk about Colonel Mustard
today.
But
it's a pretty phenomenal cast.
It is a pretty phenomenal cast. It's a great show. They kept pretty close to the storyline, and I evidently didn't print the New York Times review. But the quotable quote that was brought up on the NewYorkTheaterGuide.com was a perky but bland stage adaptation of the 1942 movie.
That's the way I like them.
Well, there you go. Then you're going to be right at home with Holiday Inn.
Would you like the review?
No, because I took notes, and so I have my little thing. So there was lots of stuff to say, and we're going to be kicked for time. So we're going to blast on through. Does everybody love the movie? I love the movie.
Yes.
Ben Brantley is not a fan of White Christmas, which is what this song.
He's just wrong. First time Let me just tell you, he's wrong.
He is wrong
on so many levels.
He is wrong. So I love Holiday Inn. I actually have the album in the non-breakable side. I don't know if those of you of a certain age like me remember the non-breakable ones. They were slight. They're 33 1/3 as far as speed.
Thicker.
They're thicker and smaller, and they are totally breakable.
I was about to say, and they are breakable.
They're
yes.
more than breakable. They're
yes.
brittle.
Yes.
Yeah. So there you go. So I have that, and I had meant to bring it here and
show
actually
and tell?
No, and play. Play a piece on the turntable, but I didn't do it. So the other opening we had was Oh Hello, which is the thing that I kept forgetting about. This is the...
Well, hello.
you should know that one.
Hello!
The Nick Kroll and John Mulaney, and I don't know John Mulaney, but evidently he was a writer for something. But they play, and there's a clip from their show on one site, and it looks like fun. They play crotchety old men in New York.
I've seen.
Play roommates.
Yeah.
And on the Kroll show, if you see it, there are characters that have been repeated on the Kroll show, which I've never seen. Josh is nodding his head.
Yeah. My roommate was a writer on John Mulaney's show, so I
cool.
met him a few times. And
so nice, so nice tell folks about this pair of people.
Well, they play older guys.
Gil Faison and
on a
George
park
St.
bench,
Jiglund.
Pretty much talking about it. It's mm-hmm. sort of like, I'll say...
I'm
what's
not
that movie that came out in Central Park in the
Rappaport.
80s with Morgan Freeman or no, Ozzie Davis?
Remember? Yep.
It's based pretty much based off of that one, mm-hmm. with Ozzie Davis. They turned it into a movie, but it was a Broadway show before that. I'm Not Rappaport.
And we just talked about that. Yeah. My friend Mark Baltazar was the original stage manager on the off-Broadway version of I'm Not Rappaport.
I can't think because I'm just loving that you have your hat on over your headphones.
It's great. Good picture.
And it's phenomenal.
You can't put it up the other way.
It is.
So this is directed by Alex Timbers. So it's got, you know,
some good peeps.
And it got great reviews across the board. One of the things that I love is they do mangled... words and things, like instead of homage, they call it homepage.
it's like touche and touchy with
right.
my cousin.
Part of the set has a no exit sign that hovers as a homepage to Jean-Paul Sartre. Homepage, get it?
Homepage. Get homage. It, yeah. Homepage,
right,
homage.
But that sounds like something I want to see. And here's an interesting thing that I thought was fun. So, back when I lived in New York, where a lot of people would pronounce Broadway, Broadway.
Mm-hmm. Broadway.
And it's sort of like an old New York-y thing. And as a matter of fact, I believe in the Timbuktu or the one of the commercials, they highlighted that. So the end of this thing is there's a whole thing about the pronunciation of Broadway versus Broadway. And? But I think that's crazy. That's Broadway. It. There's really nothing.
Oh. I think it's kind of fun, though.
All right, that's it.
All right. Okay. Lisa's looking at me.
It's more sing-songy.
She wanted you to
nothing. Broadway, I got nothing. Yeah.
Well, more we used to always say, you want to get a job on the Broadway. Like that's it's just kind of like a little...
No, I never said that.
You didn't?
No.
Because you're always working on it.
Yeah. But, you know, turning tricks doesn't count.
Magic tricks.
So who saw Lin-Manuel on SNL? That rhymes, I just noticed.
Awesome.
What'd we think?
Brilliant.
I thought it was great. I loved it.
It was good.
Yeah.
I loved it.
I did recognize him when he came out. He looked 12 years old.
I
know.
Yeah, I was about to say.
That was the most Broadway
he's...
musical SNL I think they ever did.
Well, and so here's the deal. So Saturday Night Live, that episode is the highest rated second show of a season in 12 years. And what I love about this is this is going to, I think, change Broadway a little bit because this is... Since the 40s, when Broadway stars were the pop stars, we now have a Broadway star that has appeal that transcends theater big time.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I couldn't agree more.
Yep.
And to have it also come off in a way that, I mean, there's been this horrible stereotype recently where people think of Broadway as cheesy. Are dated, or all, we hear all those people say, like, I don't go to see it because it's just all so cheesy. Well, to have it be into the pop culture, like you said, like back in the 40s, and like it's just the best thing.
Yep.
It's a great thing.
I agree. And if he works hard, he'll get somewhere because I think he's got a little bit of talent.
Maybe.
No, I'm serious.
We'll have to watch.
I think he's decent.
Oh, well.
He's a young upstart.
Well, you're only good as your last play, so what's the next one going
to
be?
That's true. Well, according to him on Saturday Night Live, it takes 7 years, so we've got to wait 7 years. Let's see. The other thing I want to talk about is that piece of music that I said at the beginning. The first time I saw it was reported in Riedel's column. It's a Stephen Schwartz musical that it's playing in Germany right now, or Vienna. I forgot exactly where. And it chronicles Emanuel Schikaneder, who I believe was the composer of The Magic Flute.
Yes.
And he was quite the man about town, mm-hmm. and all the women were after him, but he won the heart of, I got to remember her name, the woman he married, Mrs. Schickelgruber. it's true, that was actually her name, Eleanor. Schikaneder.
I feel like this show is brought to you by the poultry industry.
Is it Schikaneder?
I don't know.
I think it's Schikaneder. So,
it was directed by Trevor Nunn. This is coming in. And the music, I mean, that little piece of music is the only thing I heard. I like it.
Mm-hmm. You,
it's hummable. It's not. You can't sing it because unless you speak German.
You saw who they're trying to get to do the show and bring over here, right?
No. Enlighten our audience. I
one
know.
Mr. Hugh Jackman.
Oh yeah, they were talking. It would.
Well, he was supposed to do Houdini, which was the last, right. which was Schwartz had been writing and working on, and then that all went to hell in a handbasket. So now they moved on to the German, but he's back talking to Hugh again. I don't know.
Yep. So those two people we heard singing.
I'll go see it. It's
credit
got Hugh.
Credit is due is Milka Janovic, who played Eleanor, and Mark Siebert, who played Emmanuel. Insert last name here. So the other thing I want to talk about, I'm just going to look at time because I want to be really good about time. There was a great article, I thought, in the New York Times. Has anybody heard of that newspaper other than me?
They have crosswords, right?
They do. They have crosswords.
Is that like the Post?
I can do the Monday puzzle. And that's it.
You're better than I am.
No, Monday's pretty easy. You can do it.
I don't know about that.
So there was an interesting article that said Shakespeare explains the 2016 election.
Well, he did. He came over the other night and watched it with me.
Well,
he's
there
that
you go.
Smart, that Willie.
Well, but it's not really Willie. I mean, he wrote it, but the story of Richard III, as Shakespeare tells it, mm-hmm. is exactly what's happening right now.
It's kind of crazy, isn't it?
It's great. So, so part of what this article says, talking about the psychopathology of Richard III. The play suggests emerged the character's weird, obsessive determination to reach a goal that looked impossibly far off, a position for which he had no reasonable expectation, no proper qualification, and absolutely no aptitude. That was Richard. And Richard had to win the hearts of the people. He wasn't given the throne by familial. He decided
he was going to have it.
That he was going to have it, and he was going to make the people choose him. And they did. Isn't that amazing?
It is a little crazy. I was reading something about that, and I was like, oh.
And it goes into several reasons why he got the kingdom. And one of the reasons it says, there are those who cannot keep in focus that Richard is as bad as he seems to be. They see perfectly well that he has done this or that ghastly thing, but they have a strange penchant for forgetting, as if it were their hard work to remember just how awful he is. They are drawn irresistibly to normalize what is not normal. Ooh. Isn't that amazing?
It is kind right. of cool.
And he was a wealthy, privileged man.
Yes. So,
okay. There will be a link at Offstage on Air, and you can read the article for yourself. And the final thing I want to talk about... Oh, wait. We wanted to talk about Clue, the musical.
Well, I just thought it was funny because we were talking about murder, solving murder mysteries, and like, why do we think murder's cool?
Well, but remember,
and
they were like, they tried to do it out of Monopoly.
Well, they wrote about it in this article that they're still... I guess they're still working on Monopoly. I don't get that. But I guess Clue... They're working
on
a musical.
Clue makes sense. It can have an Edwin Drood.
It totally
kind of
could
thing.
Do like an Edwin Drood thing.
And now you don't have to go. I mean, although the voting at Edwin Drood was really fun, but you could do it via an app.
You could do it
these days.
So Hasbro is partnered with them and part of it, and they announced plans to bring it together. I have no clue, but it seems pretty interesting. And I just thought it was funny because we were just talking about Clue.
Microphone, if you're going to speak.
That was good.
I have no clue.
Yeah. So the other thing that we'll talk about next week, really, was Les Liaisons Dangereuses.
Mm. Yeah,
the
I'm
Dangerous Liaisons.
About
They've started playing in previews. We'll talk about them later after they open, so that's gonna be fun. The other thing that's sort of fun is, what's her name that's in, what's it called?
Her.
Heisenberg. Yeah.
Heisenberg.
Mary Louise
like Parker. Mary Louise
Parker, yeah.
I want to give a little shout out, if you don't mind, to the Mad Ones. And they're doing a play at the Bushwick Arts, an off-Broadway theater company, an amazing theater company, called Miles for Mary. It's created by the Mad Ones in collaboration with Amy Statz and Stacey Yen at the Bushwick Star. It's a really...
How
if
long
you don't
is it
know
playing?
The Mad Ones, they are a remarkable theater company.
Is it an open run?
No, it's October 2nd through the 29th.
October 2nd is somebody very famous's birthday. Me.
Interesting.
We won't talk about it. There's a link on our site talking about the new boss of IA, IATSE, which is the State Chain Unions, a woman, Jennifer Diaz. And it has a really great, it's a great article talking about being a woman in a old boys business of Broadway stagehands. Local One is the stagehand, the stagehands union to get into, difficult it is, and she's in charge of it. So
that's a wonderful thing and super timely, and we should all keep those things in our mind as all of our theater companies.
Exactly. So we're going to take a little break and come back. Speaking of Hugh Jackman, who we are not only going to mention later on in the show, but we already mentioned him as a possible person.
Mr. Schickengruber.
We'll listen to a little bit of Boys from Oz. We'll be back. Once there was a time when we are back. You're listening to Offstage and On Air with Lisa Sheps and Nick Squared.
Woo!
Before we talk to the Crank Collective, we were going to talk about Rosencrantz and Guildenstern is Dead, which is Daniel Radcliffe. But what I want to talk about is, when are we going to stop referring to Daniel Radcliffe as Harry Potter? Because I think it's over, but everybody still does.
Are you talking about Harry Potter?
Yeah. Marcia Brady's still Marcia Brady, so, man.
No, but that,
I don't know what to tell
I had
you.
A family.
No, but the woman that what's her name played Marcia Brady is not the star that Daniel Radcliffe is.
No, but I mean, it is what when you're iconic growing up with people.
He's made such a name for himself outside of Harry
Potter. Drew Barrymore's
Gertie. And it's time to be done.
I disagree.
She's a friend come to see How to Succeed Family Member and came backstage, met the whole cast. And
said, hi, Harry Potter.
No, he said, is that Peter Potter? I said, oh man, you're just wrong on so many levels.
Okay, well, let's switch gears and let's talk to Josh Mindertzman and John Cecil of Crank Collective and their shows, The Texas Comedies.
That's right. We're doing, as Crank Collective, we're also doing shows under the moniker of Texas Comedies.
That's what I just said.
And we're going to different towns and taking our shows. So we did the show Boomtown here over a year ago, and it was about the formation and crime-ridden birth of Borger, Texas.
I saw it.
So then, did you?
I
so
did.
We then took that to Borger, Texas, and we did it there for the Borger 50th birthday. Yes, it's a real town. A big town, actually, way up there.
I know. I love that you say it. It's Borger.
Yeah.
It's happy.
So we've been starting to try to do our shows out in other towns. So we're doing this weekend in LaGrange, we're doing our show, The True Story of Bonnie and Clyde.
Is there a connection with Bonnie and Clyde in LaGrange?
In Fayette County, they arrested two people in the gang and
in
put
the
them
Barrow
in jail.
Gang.
In the Barrow gang.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What
so,
doesn't go on in LaGrange, may I just add?
It's true. What an
From
infamous
ZZ
little
Top
town.
To Bonnie and Clyde
Speaking
to
chicken,
little whorehouses and chicken ranches. I mean,
chicken,
what
then.
Doesn't happen?
Always comes back to chicken. You can't get away from that. So you were on this program and you did Bonnie and Clyde before, The True Story of Bonnie and Clyde. And y'all played, I think, next door at City Theater, didn't you?
Yes, that's where we did it.
Right.
Yep, I see.
We
nice.
Remember
one,
things.
1 year ago. Amazing.
1 year ago.
Their sign fell down.
Pardon me? Oh, their sign
yeah.
did
fall down.
I thought you said
their
I could have sworn you felt their sign fell now. And I went, how did Andy Bukowski get Seinfeld?
That's what I was thinking. I'm like, Seinfeld.
The sign did fall down. So those of you that are traveling to the City Theater, you're just going to have to know where it is till they put that sign back up.
It's next door to us.
It is next door to us. So, Josh, do you play Bonnie? Or do you play Clyde? You can play Bonnie.
No, I play about 8 different characters. It's a small cast, so I play the characters that interact with the
Do you
reporters.
Play C.J. Moss?
Because
in the movie, he's my fave.
He plays
I don't know
Frank
who that
Hamer.
Actor is.
Frank Hamer.
He's
That's
Frank
who
Hamer.
I'll be singing.
So bring the hammer down.
Bring
so,
the hammer down.
Yeah, you're going to sing.
Yes, we are.
Let's do that.
So,
what
yeah,
are you going
to so
sing?
We, also, I wanted to mention that we're working on a show called Prohibition, which is about, guess what?
Drinking.
Prohibition.
That's right. And Prohibition, the local option here in Austin, Texas. That comes out in the spring. We're going to do that here.
Great.
At Doherty Arts. But first, LaGrange Saturday night, if you want to go.
Yep.
Here's a song.
But we're going to talk after you sing, so don't think that this is over. You're,
so this,
you're
I,
not
I
done with
okay.
us
it's
yet.
Never
you can't
over.
Just leave.
He was ready to like sing and like, book it out.
Sing and book.
Actually, if you listen to episode 296, you can hear more about this show.
Okay.
This morning.
There it is, 296.
So I'm going to be singing Frank Hamer. He was the retired Texas Ranger who went and corralled
him.
And trapped.
Shot him.
Well,
got him.
I don't want to be so violent on the air.
You can't say shot.
Yeah, you can't say shot. Okay, this is John Cecil and Josh Meindertsma doing a song from Crank Collective's show, The True Story of Bonnie and Clyde.
And I'm going to be playing Bonnie and Clyde singing together.
Okay.
I got a duty to the people to protect. I got a duty to the people to protect. And I hate to bust a cap upon a woman, but it's them or it's us.
We are gangsters.
I got a duty to the people to protect.
We are gangsters.
I think of all the skills and all the lives been wrecked.
And I'm sorry
I hate to bust a cap
happened,
upon a woman, but it's them or it's
they
us.
They wouldn't have heard of us anyhow. We
I
are
got
gangsters.
A duty to the people to protect.
We are
I got
gangsters
a duty to
now.
The people to protect.
And I'm
I
sorry
to bust
what
a cap
happened,
upon a
but
woman,
if it hadn't
but it's
happened,
it's
you wouldn't have heard of us anyhow. We
I
are
got
gangsters.
A duty to the people to protect.
Well, there you go. I'll tell
right
you one thing.
Point.
One of the things we're missing here on Offstage on the Air is references to popping a cap in somebody.
Well, they actually used to say that word
that's a
back
quote.
Then.
I reference that all the time.
They
I
did.
Tune
that's
it out.
A Frank Hamer
I believe that Bonnie Parker actually coined that phrase. Right? Back in 1923.
Got to be true to the original
she
story.
She told me she did.
Yes, it's true. So the Bonnie and Clyde thing is fun, and there's always a good bunch of humor in your shows.
Mm-hmm. And cool
and
machine
fun.
Guns made out of wood.
Well, of course. What else would they
and
be made
got,
out of?
And we got Phil Rodriguez and Megan Ortiz
yes.
back.
Right? So
Cara,
the whole you got the whole company?
Karen and Carl, yeah.
Cara Blaze playing the reporter now. Yep.
Excellent.
So we got a lot of good people.
So Bonnie and Clyde is playing... Saturday night in LaGrange, and then get information at
eventbrite.com has tickets.
Okay, great.
And it's one show only.
One show only.
You got one
but
shot.
You're doing quite well, aren't you, with
one
that?
One shot.
So don't,
I think so.
Don't say anything more about it, but go and get information.
Yes.
So tell us about the other things that Crank Collective is What else is up your little sleeve? Or Texas Comedies. So are you now Texas Comedies and Crank Collective is no more?
No, we're still Crank Collective. But yeah, we're doing Texas Comedies more and more because it's a better website, more descriptive, and has like video clips and cool stuff there.
Does.
So we're trying to sell shows outside of Austin as well as do them here.
So what's next?
Well, Prohibition, the local option in Travis County.
Okay, and you're doing that at Daugherty.
That's right. How'd you know?
You said Daugherty earlier. You said Daugherty earlier.
No, she just knew.
What? Yeah, I knew. She's
the wise one.
When I'm not on Facebook, I'm on
your crystal ball?
Texas Comedy's website.
Oh. I love it. I'm always tweaking it.
So Prohibition is going to be done at the Daugherty. If you were to choose a city in Texas to take it to, where would you take it?
Wow, that's a great question.
Cthulhu.
Amarillo? I've never.
San Antonio is where they had the big fights over it.
All right, or you could take it to Chicago.
Maybe Houston?
Oh, you mean outside of Texas?
Well, I didn't mean it outside, but I said you could take it to Chicago.
Chicago's a
great prohibition town.
It is.
I mean, if you like
and that's a pretty
murder
big city, right?
And things, it's
sell a lot of tickets up there.
You could. So what?
So there are people there.
So Prohibition is a new one.
Prohibition's a brand new one.
Okay, and what's in the works? After that?
After Prohibition, I'd like to do something about the 80s financial crisis.
Okay. You're going to call it Enron?
I'm serious.
I wish you had a picture of Nick's face. His eyes are lit up and his mouth
made me really
is like,
excited.
Yeah.
Just think about the clothes. They could wear, you know, those bank, like Dallas.
Well, so let me ask
clothes.
You, what's the Texas connection with that?
Dallas. They had most of those, the savings and loan crisis was all mostly in Dallas.
Oh, yeah. Well, the savings and loan was 2007.
No, and Enron, there was an 80, there was 80s. I lived in Dallas during this
okay.
time.
All right.
Yep.
Yeah, so I wasn't.
Hats and
I wasn't born
and
in 1980s, yeah. so I can't remember that.
So.
Stop laughing, Nick.
I was eating a lot of Bubba's fried chicken because you know I love that.
You
Bubba's.
Do. You do. So we were looking for actually a core story to tell its story. So it could be you.
There you go.
Could Bubba's. Be you.
Yeah, I was a child coming there.
Could be. Well, that's great. What's the process when you do these? Because is this more of a, do you work in a devised kind of situation, or do you, John Cecil, sit down at your computer and write these shows?
We try to collect as much material as possible. As much, like the Bonnie and Clyde show is all from newspaper
research
articles
source.
And
yeah.
so many quotes and everything. Of course, there's tons of news. In fact, the show is about the news coverage of them.
Uh-huh.
For the savings and loan, not sure yet. The Prohibition one, there's a whole lot of, you just go down to the Austin History Center and you can get all sorts of stuff about.
Right, but are you writing it alone or do you do it collaboratively with your company?
I write it all and then we do a reading and then
And then they read it and Josh says, this is not
this
very
does not
good.
Work, buddy.
I need more funny lines. So, it's usually a lot of funny lines.
Do you ever bring any of your stuff to L.A.?
What's that?
Do you ever bring any of your stuff to L.A.?
I went out to L.A. We tried to sell a movie in L.A.
Yeah, we wrote a screenplay.
Yeah.
And I
is it called Lisa?
I went to Pitch Fest in Burbank. And
called Long
Lisa.
Pitch
Fest.
Pitch Fest.
Pitch Fest,
that's with a P.
Okay. Well, we're going to... before we started, I asked Josh to pick a number between 2 and 53. And what did you choose, Josh?
38.
Shall we see what that is?
We don't know because it's a new CD.
It's a new CD. Here we go.
This is Stephen Mills, Artistic Director of Ballet Austin. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air on KOOP Hornsby, Austin.
We have not
heard
Stephen Mills
in a
while. In a long, long
that
time.
Was lovely.
Were those
good
PSAs?
Choice.
Is that a PSA?
That is not a PSA. That is a legal ID.
Oh, okay.
So
it's
you
good
got
to know the difference.
You got the
station, the call letters, what's happening, what you're listening to.
Well, literally, it's the city and the call letters. Those are the two things that are part of a station, as the ID. We're out of time.
Okay.
But tell us once more where we can get information on the show.
You can go to eventbrite.com to find out about the LaGrange show this weekend.
Yeah, but to find out about Texas Comedies, what's that website?
TexasComedies.com. I love it there.
Okay.
You're
well,
there
thank,
all the time.
Thank you, guys, and I hope you can stick around for backstage. You got to leave.
Right,
gotta roll.
But thank you for having
roll.
Us.
All right. You could say it on the microphone.
I got to write more shows.
You got to write more shows.
Oh,
Excellent.
Love it.
Thank you guys for being on the show.
Thank you very much. Always a pleasure.
That was John Cecil and Josh Meindertsma of Crank Collective and Texas Comedies. The show, The True Story of Bonnie and Clyde, is playing this Saturday night, October 15th, in LaGrange. For more information, you can go to Eventbrite or texascomedies.com. We will be right back.
Take me back to Texas.
Take me back to Texas with you.
With you.
That is from a show called Make a Wish, which I've never heard of before. And that was Nanette Fabre that you were listening to.
That's a fantastic
name. How about that was
name.
Nanette Fabulous?
Oh. Nanette Fabulous. And did you, do you not know who Nanette Fabre was?
No, I know. I just was. Love the name.
It is
just
a great
name. Every time I hear it, it's just...
So, yeah, that was called Make a Wish, and it was choreographed by Gower Champion and somebody else. So Gower Champion did not get top billing of choreography. So this was in 1951, so I don't know where he was in his career at that point.
Interesting.
That's it.
You were quite along in your career at that point.
Oh,
you?
Yeah, yeah. I was old
David
school.
David Blackburn.
Ladies and gentlemen, David Blackburn. Keys.
So I've got really nothing here for local. Do either of you want to highlight something?
Oh, I had a few good men at TexArts.
A few good men at TexArts?
Yep, closing this weekend here, the 16th.
Closing weekend of the bathtub thing that oh my God.
The bathtub thing.
It's the girls in the bathtub. The three women. Theater on Block.
Yeah.
So you can get information. That's the last weekend for that. And I think it's the last weekend for the thing that's happening at Hyde Park, which is getting really good reviews.
No, because we have them on next week.
We do? Then never mind. Okay.
The 22nd they close.
Good. I'm glad I have Nicole here. I'm glad I have Nick Squared here. Okay, we're just gonna jump right into today in theater history. So we're gonna actually make up some time now. Way back in 1914, you remember that, David?
Quite well. Thank
blistering
you.
Year.
This is the premiere of Pygmalion, George Bernard Shaw's Pygmalion.
Oh, Norman loves that play.
Well, and Norman did a great job. Did anybody see the different stages starring Amy Lewis as Eliza?
That's about 2 or 3 years ago.
It was about 2 or 3 years ago, yeah. She did an awesome job. And different stages does good work, and he did it, and he loves it. And that's right up. Different stages alley. So, quiz, what year did My Fair Lady, play My Fair Lady open? So, this was, so Pygmalion was 1914.
1914?
57?
40.
Oh, you were so close. You were going to say 56. 52? It's 56.
It's 56.
Oh. Yeah, that's great. Good. I wouldn't have been able to do that. So, speaking of Irving Berlin and his brand new musical, Holiday Inn, in 1950, he did have a new musical starring somebody named Ethel Merman.
Who's she?
I don't know. Call Me Madam.
Oh, really?
Opened in 1950. Wow. Ethel Merman did so good that Walter Winchell, the theater critic, said they ought to call it Call Me Merman.
Call Me Merman. That's great.
Other people in the show, which I don't know any of these people. I'm sure other people do. Paul Lucas, Alan Hewitt? I don't know. Russell Knipe and Galena Talva. Which, of course, you know, Galena Talva is Mr. and Mrs. Talva's little girl.
It's a great name, yeah. Galena Talva.
1964, James Earl Jones in New York Shakespeare's Festival, Othello. How great would that have been?
Can we just
see?
Say, kickin'.
Wow. Kickin'.
Was that in the park?
No, it was at the Martinique Theater, which I don't know what the Martinique is now.
It's... So Shakespeare.
Oh, but it might be. It might have been downtown where a Shakespeare festival is. So it's possible. 1968 is the birthday of who?
Bon anniversaire.
Who? Who's going to be in Schicklgruber show? Who did The Boy from Oz?
Hugh Jackman.
It's Hugh Jackman's birthday today. He also did, of course, The Rain. The River, Steady Rain, and some show called Hugh Jackman Back on Broadway.
Can I just tell you? My head's still trying to wrap around the river.
And true. Also everybody. Oklahoma.
That's true. He did do Oklahoma. But that wasn't Broadway. That was West End.
This is true. However.
He didn't. There you go. And just so you know, Cavi.
He's quite good in that.
He didn't make me like Oklahoma any better than I thought he would. I even bought the really deluxe
DVD.
You
went to see The River, did you not?
Yes, I did.
Yes,
I have
crazy.
Seen him in all of his... New York stage performances.
No, good, because we were going to nail you on the Oklahoma thing.
No, I
haven't. Although you saw the Oklahoma thing.
I have the fancy DVD. I am now an owner of it. It collects dust. Sitting. I try to lend it to people.
Excellent. All right, we're running out of time. What's the buzz? 1971, Jesus Christ Superstar opened.
I was just about to say, tell me what's happening.
Yep. 2001, I'm not going to even talk about that. That's The Women with Cynthia Nixon, Jennifer Tilly. And so birthdays. Helena Modjeska.
Love her.
That's a great name, too. There's some names today.
Locally, it's the birthday of Mary Alice Carnes.
Hello, Mary Alice.
Scott Tatum.
Hello, Scott.
Katie DeMarsh, who's a local improviser here in town.
Hello,
and
Katie.
Susan Clausen, we may remember her. She was a guest here. She's the one that does the Edith Head one-person shows.
Yes.
She's out of Arizona. And yesterday was Jason Newlander's birthday.
Well, there's birthdays.
Bon anniversary.
Bon anniversary. Bon anniversary.
Bon anniversary.
Birthdays. Bon anniversary.
Okay. We're going to take a break and come back with Austin Theater Project. So let's listen to a little bit of Jesus Christ Superstar.
Yes!
But not the normal version.
That's all right!
Try not to get worried. Try not to
tell. We are back. You're listening to Offstage on the Air with Lisa Sheps, Nicole Shiro, and Nick Mayo. Nick Squared.
Nick Squared.
Oh, you know what? Your microphone wasn't on. Nick Squared.
Nick Squared.
Okay. I have to do one thing really quick. So that version of
Rocket.
Jesus Christ Superstar is from, oh my God, I forgot where it's from. But y'all have to hear the intro to it because it's a little funky.
Did you play it?
I'm about to play it right this very second. So let's just listen to this.
Try not to get
ooh, so, I like that.
Isn't it fun and funky?
This?
It's
there've been,
you know,
so many recordings of it.
I'll put it. It's I believe it is the Australian company.
Oh, that sounded kind of Australian.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Australian, you know, or Tasmanian
but,
or something.
You
like
know,
that.
You should have played the version that was going on here in the studio because we were all awesome. Down.
All right, so let's introduce our guests because we've already lost the time we had gained. So we have from Austin Theater Project, Mr. David Blackburn, artistic director.
Hello.
And music director of Sweeney Todd.
Yes.
Yay!
That
welcome.
Would be me.
Well, and we have Jeff Hinkle, who's directing Sweeney Todd.
Hey, Lisa, how are you doing today?
Hello. We don't have Barbara Schuler, who is not feeling very well today.
Barbara.
And we wish her the best.
We wish you the best.
And then the stars of the show and the stars of Austin Theater in general, Mr. Joe Penrod.
Lisa, how you doing?
Excellent. Better now that you're here. And Miss Kathy Sheridan.
Who?
Kathy Sheridan.
Oh, hi, Lisa.
That's you. Well, so this is... this is fun. So I've been able to carve out 17 minutes for us. So we'll have a good time to talk.
Maybe four songs from
this
show.
So this show was written by,
what is his name?
Stefan. Oh, you know that musical
Stefan.
Sondheimer.
It's your Esteban.
Stephen Sondheim. And before we went on the air, David just said to me how difficult this music was. And I said, well, it's Sondheim. He said it's difficult for Sondheim. So talk about that, David.
Oh, it's just there's so many little tricks and stuff that are hidden in the music.
Like what?
Different odd meters, very dissonant chords.
I was about to say dissonant. He likes that.
Lack
likes
of melody good, yeah. in the accompaniment.
Yeah. keys about every three measures.
Yeah. What, every three measures?
Yeah.
And
changes keys.
Oh,
but you know what? We're very blessed. My musicians are right on top of everything. They're doing a great job.
What's the instrumentation for this?
We're doing a 9-piece orchestra.
Mm-hmm. Ooh,
that's nice.
We've got a string section, trumpet, clarinet, two keyboards, percussion.
Kalimba.
No, I don't think so.
Do you have someone just walking around wiping people's brows? Like, and offering them water?
I know, right?
That would be Toby.
Would you like that job?
No. I think
it would be nice, yes.
I always feel that way for those musicians.
There are a few.
I was trying to figure out what that reference was meaning, and now I got it.
You feel.
There are a few numbers when they could definitely use that.
They're working really, really hard.
So somebody tell us about this. Jeff Hinkle, you're the director. Tell us, for people that don't know, and I can't imagine that people don't, what is this crazy story about?
Well, it's about a demon barber of sweets. No, he's it's about a barber who's been misaligned by the law, and he comes back hoping to find his wife and finding out that the judge that maneuvered things has his daughter, and he exacts a certain amount of revenge. It also seems to be about revenge on himself by the end of the show.
By the end of the show, yeah. And interestingly enough, there's a production. Is it in England where they're doing it in a pie shop? And they're bringing it over here, and you can actually order and eat pies while you watch the show, which
It's a little odd when you
it's
know
a little
context.
Odd
yeah.
yes. when you know
they
the
just
story.
Announced too that they hired the White House pastry chef to
yes,
make all the meat
to do
pies.
It here in town yeah. right so pretty amazing
that's cool I like that I did. They also just did a production a very minimalist production in Seoul Korea so I was reading about that
yeah wow I saw some of the clips
yeah.
of that
it's beautiful
fascinating
it's
is
beautiful,
it done in English
yeah right? no it's done, it's
Ooh.
Done in yeah. Korean directed by Eric Schaefer.
Who wants to yeah. translate that? Imagine Sondheim's so difficult, and then to actually mm-hmm. translating's hard enough as it is. And
yeah,
then,
I would think that
it's
the music would be
fascinating to
tough.
Watch. It truly is. I mean, you know what the words are. If you know the work, you know the words. But to see them and their expression of it, it's a whole different ballgame.
But you
it's
also can't. You can't. You cannot produce something based on the idea that everybody knows it. So it's got to be
correct.
Accessible
exactly.
to those that are a blank
yeah.
slate.
Yeah,
amazing.
Incredible interpretation.
Yeah. So are there YouTubes?
Oh, yes.
Okay,
absolutely.
I'm gonna YouTubes it.
Do.
I'm gonna YouTubes it.
Lisa.
So let's just jump right into some music, shall we? What's our first
We're gonna do My Friends, which is from the first act. It's when Sweeney first comes back to London and Mrs. Lovett presents him with his razors.
Oh, I guess we should say that you are playing...
I'm playing Sweeney.
Sweeney Todd, mm-hmm. and it's Kathy...
Toby. Mrs. Lovett.
Mrs. Lovett.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, wonderful. So this is Joe Penrod and Kathy Sheridan doing a number from Austin Theater Project's production of Sweeney Todd.
My, them handles is chased silver, ain't they?
Silver, yes. These are my friends. See how they glisten. See this one shine. How he smiles in the light. My friends, my faithful friend. Speak to friend, whisper, I'll listen. I know you've been locked out of sight all these years. Like me, my friend. Well, I've come home.
Friend too, Mr. Todd. If you only knew, Mr. Todd. Ooh, Mr. Todd,
you're warm in my hand, my friend, my clever friend.
Always had a fondness for you, I did.
Rest now, my friend.
Never you.
Soon I'll unfold you.
You can move in here, Mr. Todd.
Splendors you never have dreamed all your days. Again.
Wow. I don't know what you're talking about, David. That didn't seem very complex to me. That sounded lovely. Lovely,
I
lovely.
Want to hear more.
It makes me
beautiful,
too.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Well, you
beautiful.
Know how you can do that.
And we, yeah. So where can folks go to get more information?
www.austintheaterproject.org. That's theater, theatre.
T-R-E. There's no other way to spell it on this show. And and you're in a relatively new venue, the BAM Bandpack. Performing Arts Center,
correct.
Which is in Southeast. Southwest, yeah. Southeast. It's basically Ben White and
71. Yeah. 113 Industrial Boulevard.
There you go. But that'll all be on austintheaterproject.org. Excellent. You know, what I love about this show and this music is it's just so wonderfully dark and melodic all at the same time.
I agree.
Yes. And at times, funny.
And at times, funny.
Very much so.
Talk about the comedy part of it.
Well,
who's playing Hoge? I don't know their names.
Who's playing who?
So what role would
oh,
that
you know
be?
What? I just went to Les Miserables. Never mind. I went to the shopkeepers in Les Miserables.
No, I was all like, oh,
sorry.
Which,
never mind.
Like, never oh, mind. No, we have to start over. There's another character.
Never mind.
No pressure.
But yeah, it is.
Outside of the complex music, what are some of the challenges that you guys are facing in terms of the piece? It's a massive piece.
Yes.
So and a massive undertaking with the music.
And we're approaching it in more of a chamber piece than in the grandiose style of, say, the original production.
Mm-hmm. Talk about that, Jeff, a little bit.
Sure.
Oh, wait, let me turn on your microphone. That would help.
I was actually going to let Joe talk about it.
But I would love to hear from you. We have not heard from you.
Well, and I was more going to talk about the psychology of the piece. But
you can do that too.
I wanted to answer your question. So what's more challenging about the piece? And
yeah, just some of the challenges are ways in which you're coming about telling this story. There's many different ways you could go about telling this story.
Oh, one of the things I'm fascinated by, and if you listen to the Ballad of Sweeney Todd when he first comes on, the story's happened already, and he's telling it again. And I started thinking about that, and I kind of pulled it into kind of an existential dilemma, and also kind of I always think about No Exit after seeing it for the first time a million years ago. And I like the idea of, and it compels me that he says twice at the beginning of the piece and at the end of the piece, he references being naive. And I kind of started thinking that this is his damnation, that he has to continuously tell this story over and over again. And he has to always come to the point where, not to give anything away, but the tragedy happens in front of him and that he has created. And he has that moment of revelation is also the end. Back to hell, come back out and start it up again. And so that's been kind of our guiding principle. The piece itself, just for challenging it, it's one, I have an amazing cast. I have, you know, Joe and Kathy, but I have a lot of other folks, Sarah Zering, Meg, Craig, I can't remember Craig's last name right now.
McCurley. Yeah.
We have a newcomer, Ben.
Simon,
who is just amazing. So I have tremendous musicians, tremendous musical theater folks in the show. But it is a challenging, challenging, massive work. And the other day I was looking through one of my grad school directing books, and it had kind of the cautionary plays in there. And it said, you know, the hardest musical you could ever even think about doing is Sweeney Todd. And I was like, God, I wish I would have read this about 3 months ago. And,
I'm glad you didn't.
But I'm very blessed, and I've been incredibly happy. I mean, it's one of the things, sitting in music rehearsal and hearing these voices bring this music to life every day has just been like, it's
and
incredible.
I would imagine that creatively it's a hard thing. It's a challenge to give the music its due because it is sung. Mm-hmm. But also, you could spend an entire rehearsal process just on the music.
Oh, yes.
And well, then never get up on your feet.
We spent the first 2 weeks doing just that.
Yes.
Right.
Exactly. 2 weeks.
Before we ever set foot on the stage, it was all music rehearsals. And we probably could have done even more.
Of course.
Yeah. Because it is so, there's so much there. You get to a certain level, but if you dig more, there's even more to explore within the music.
Kathy, what's bringing you joy about it? Because Mrs. Lovett is such an interesting character with that dark and comedy. Where are you finding your joy in that?
I think in the mother of her, believe it or not.
I can see that.
You know,
actually, I can see that.
Can you? Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. The mother aspect of her. That's a very hard question. Dang. Should have had notes ahead of time.
You've wanted to play this role forever.
I have. I've done the beggar woman twice. So that's And that would be a role I would play for the rest of my life if I could. I adore that role.
Well, it seems to me there'd be a great deal of hope in the character for the first, you know, from the beginning up to close to the end. So you can play all that joy. I want to make sure we get another number in.
Okay, we're going to give you a snippet of Priest, I believe.
A snippet. Yeah. Oh, that's a good one.
Because we can't do the whole thing, you know.
We'll give you a little taste.
There was no pun intended, however.
But yeah, didn't go there.
It's a wee bit long. Each one of these songs.
They're a wee bit long.
Do the same cut.
Okay, so once again, this is Kathy Sheridan, Joe Penrod doing Priest from Austin Theater Project's production of Sweeney Todd.
You know me. Sometimes ideas just pop into my head, and I was thinking, seems a downright shame.
Shame?
Seems an awful waste. Such a nice plump frame, what's his name has had, has, nor it can't be traced. Business needs a lift. Debts to be erased. Think of it as thrift, as a gift, if you get my drift. No? Seems an awful waste. I mean, with the price of meat, what it is, when you get it, if you get it. Good, you got it. Take, for instance, Mrs. Mooney and her pie shop. Business never better, using only pussycats and toast. Now a pussy's good for maybe 6 or 7 at the most. And I'm sure they can compare as far as taste.
Mrs. Lovett, what a charming notion.
Well, eminently practical
and yet appropriate
waste.
As always.
It's an idea.
Never know.
Think
how
about it. Lots
come
of other gentlemen will soon be coming for this a shame. Won't they? Mr. Todd, what, Mr. Todd, what is that sound?
Those crunching noises pervading the air.
Yes, Mr. Todd, yes, Mr. Todd, yes, all around.
It's man devouring man, my dear.
And who are we to deny it in here?
Ah, these are desperate times, Mrs. Lovett. Desperate measures are called for.
Here we are, hot from the oven.
What is that?
It's fop. Finest in the shop. Or we have some shepherd's pie peppered with actual shepherd on top. And I've just begun. Here's a politician so oily, it's served with a doily, not one.
Put it on a bun. Well, you never know if it's going to run.
Try the fryer, fried it's drier.
No, the clergy is really too coarse and too mealy.
Then actor, that's compactor.
Yes, and always arrives overdone. I'll come again when you have judge on the menu.
Wait, true, we don't have judge yet. But we have something you might fancy even better.
What's that?
Executioner!
Have charity towards the world, my pet.
Yes, yes, I know, my love.
We'll take the customers that we can get.
High born and low, my love.
We'll not discriminate great from small. No, we'll serve anyone,
meaning anyone, and to anyone at all.
Ah, that is great. All right, we're out of time. So tell folks once again where you can go to get more information about the show.
www.austintheaterproject.org.
And you open this weekend, do you not?
Friday
night.
Friday the 14th. Mm-hmm. There's nothing scary about that.
No, not at all.
And when do you close?
The
30th.
The 30th. Oh, I had the 29th, so I was wrong. So it's the 30th.
Well, the right spooky up, we just weekend. Added
a little special.
Spooky weekend.
Excellent. And once again, you're at the BAM Performing Arts Center, BAMPAC. And tell folks where that is.
113 Industrial Boulevard.
Right.
Off
so that's
of
basically
South Congress.
Industrial and South Congress, just south of Ben White.
Right.
Thank you guys so much
thank
for being
you.
On the show.
Thanks
for having us.
Thank you for
thank
coming.
You much.
Okay.
And Nick Squared.
And Nick, that makes him sick. That was David Blackburn, Jeff Hinkle, Kathy Sheridan, Joe Penrod of Austin Theater Project's production of Sweeney Todd, October 14th through the 30th at the BAM Performing Arts Center. For more information, austintheaterproject.org. And this is for you, Nicole.
I had the tale of Sweeney Todd. His skin was pale and his eye was odd. He shaved the faces of gentlemen who never thereafter were heard of again. He trod a path that few have trod. Did Sweeney Todd.
Okay. Thank you for the D. Schneider.
That was
D. Sings Broadway.
I wanted to do a special Sweeney Todd, and then I said, oh, God, we got D.
We have D.
Can't do better than D.
Come on now.
So thank you, guys. We did another week.
Thank you.
It was fun. I'm going to turn your microphone on, Nick.
Thanks.
anytime.
Do you want to talk?
Remember, if you want to hear Backstage at Offstage and other special things, you need to get to the podcast.
Absolutely.
Which is on iTunes. You can subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, and how
America
else?
Free Radio, too, right?
No.
Radio Free? No? Yeah? Okay. Offstageonair.com.
Offstageonair.com. You can put your name in, and we'll just send it to you.
Yes.
It'll be fun.
We just appear.
I do it. Do you do it, Nick?
I do.
Good. Me too.
Do you like getting yourself delivered in your mailbox?
You know what?
I get two of them, and I listen to them both.
That's exciting.
It's true.
So if you're listening on the air, on the radio broadcast, please stay tuned for Austin Monitor News. Thank you, Nick Squared.
Thank you, Lisa.
I didn't get the singing. Let's try that again. Thank you, Nick Squared.
Yeah!
Those of you listening to the podcast, stick around for Backstage at Offstage, where we learn a little bit about more about our guests. We'll be back next week when we look at what's happening offstage and on the air. Bye, folks. Well, the curtain just came down on Full House the musical, the story of a TV sitcom in search for its true self and better nature. But much to its chagrin, it does not succeed. Dun, dun.
Dun, dun. Speaking of that, I have to ask you, did you go to Luke's Diner with Gilmore Girls?
I did not go to Luke's Diner, but
did you
know...
see the lines and articles on it?
No, I did not.
People were lined up around the
of
corner.
Of course they were.
I'll have to send you the article. I thought of you, and I'm like, did Lisa
I'm loving me some Gilmore Girls. No, unfortunately, my life is no longer my own, and I have no time to do anything.
I hear you, sister.
So we are joined here backstage amongst the dumpsters and rats and stuff with David Blackburn. Welcome back. Stage.
Hey, it's good to be here again.
Joe Penrod.
Welcome to me.
Kathy Sheridan.
Cello.
Cello. I love cello.
Cheerio.
And we have Nick Mayo here.
Hi, Lisa.
First time you've been backstage with me.
It's the first time I've been backstage with you. You look good backstage.
I like. That's right. He hasn't.
In the microphone. I like it backstage.
I like you backstage.
Well, so does half the fourth fleet.
I was just like, I'm not going to say.
Yeah, you may as well just go.
I've done your show a number of times, but we've never done this.
Right. So. Well, this is relatively new since you've been, although you did come on one day when I wasn't here. And back then, we didn't do backstage when I wasn't here. Yeah. So good. Well, let's start with you, Joe, because you as longtime listeners to this show, you were one of our first guests, amongst the first guests.
Those longtime listeners would remember how you always called me that old.
I didn't say it. I was not going to go there.
It's a term of affection. At least you always told me it was.
Absolutely a term of affection. So we love that. But then I got a sense that maybe you didn't like it, so I stopped.
Oh no.
Okay, Joe Penrod is a hack.
Yeah.
So
a good one.
We were talking before we went on the air. You were here and you've moved away.
Yeah, my wife and I moved away about 3 years ago.
You're Midwesterners.
Yes, we are.
Crazy.
Yeah, and we moved back to Bloomington, Illinois for work.
Okay, so you and we know that's in the insurance biz.
Yes, that's correct.
But let's go back further. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Missouri.
Show me. Anybody with me?
Well, we are backstage, but Yeah, I grew up in Cape Girardeau, Missouri, which is about 100 miles south.
I have played Cape
Girardeau.
Sounds way more exotic than I bet it is.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, Girardeau.
I have played Cape Girardeau.
I have.
No, I'm being serious as a heart attack. With Joffrey Ballet, we played Cape Girardeau.
Uh-huh. I've driven through Cape Girardeau.
Yeah, there you go. Too. So you grew up in Cape
Girardeau.
It's a
good place to grow up.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. And did you do theater there?
No. My background is all music. So my bachelor and graduate degrees are both in music.
Is it in classical music?
I mean, I was an opera singer.
You were an opera singer.
Yeah.
What's your favorite opera?
Oh.
Did you like us
Everybody
talking about
loves
Magic
Love
Flute?
OM. The discussion about flute was good. I love Mozart. I did Marriage of Figaro. So that's one
Figaro,
of my
Figaro, Figaro, yeah. Figaro.
No,
did
Barbara
you sing Too Low Sigh? When you were in training?
No.
No. Okay.
I don't remember
love
that,
asking
at least.
Everyone
I, that's
that.
My favorite thing.
I
because
know.
Too Low Sigh.
Too Low Sigh, because that's what I was told, that every classically trained singer has to learn like for the first thing.
My wife is listening going, Joe, don't you remember you did?
You probably did. Wow. So where did you make the switch from?
Well, after about 10 years in New York working in the opera business, and it was, you know, there's so much travel involved, I decided to get a real job. So I started doing the insurance business, you know, and continued to be involved in theater.
So did you work professionally in opera?
Yeah.
What company?
Well, when you're a young professional opera singer, you're working for all over the place.
Oh,
so,
I know. I was a soprano.
I was based in New York, but I was working for companies like Miami Opera, Minnesota Opera.
Cool.
Oslo Opera down in
Florida. I'm going to ask you to do me a favor that's completely off the subject.
Okay.
Can you down that water? Because I will get killed for you having that there.
Gone.
I will not admit that it was actually here in the studio.
It was actually gin.
It was a mirage, and, Lisa. It was a mirage.
Well, that's cool. So did when did you make the switch? Here in Austin? To theater?
No. A long time ago I made that switch and throughout my career.
Did they have cars when this happened?
It wasn't that long.
Okay. I'm just curious.
Did a lot of theater and musical theater. Wherever we landed in the insurance business, I was involved in theater. When we came here to Austin in 06, I was already doing quite a bit and got very involved in theater scene here.
Yeah, you worked a lot in Georgetown, if I remember.
Did a lot
correctly.
In Georgetown mm-hmm. and a lot here in Austin proper as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Cool. And so you're here for a year, you told me.
Yeah, I have had three different gigs this year here in Austin. So we have an apartment, and I kind of go back and forth. So, yeah.
Excellent. Well, we're happy to have you.
I'm happy.
The more
to
you can be here, the better.
Yeah.
I want to take some time to talk to Nick Mayo.
I'd rather talk about my grandmother, who's a 92-year-old star in Laredo, Texas, of the stage. She played Weezer in Steel Magnolias. She was in the Gin Game, Cemetery Club.
Wow.
Gore Vidal's the best man. She's a star. She's 92.
What's her name?
Selma Sue Jeanette Rotan Mayo.
Wow.
Yeah, her name is Susie. She is a star.
And she's in
on
LaGrange.
The border. That's all I got.
And is there a theater in? Oh, in Laredo.
That's all I got. I went to see her in her first show, thinking it was going to
be.
We
should have an off. We should have an off stage and on the air field trip. You need to speak in the microphone
I'm
when
sorry.
You talk.
Why isn't she a guest? We go do a field trip. Yes.
Yeah, we should definitely.
We'll
do
a field trip.
Yep. Bye.
Oh my gosh. Well. Okay. All right. Kathy Sheridan.
Hi, Lisa.
You've been back here
Top
before.
There. I have. Yeah.
Well, what's fun? What's new and different in your life?
I just got engaged.
Mazel tov! I did not know this.
Yeah,
tell
I can't
me
believe
that
I just
you
said that on
in?
The air. Yeah.
Can you tell us who the lucky person is?
Well, you know who the lucky
I
person
do.
Is.
I do. Well, I'm making assumptions.
Dr. Danger.
Dr. Danger.
Yeah.
That is awesome. Great.
Very spontaneous. Evidently, he had planned to do it closing night of Sweeney Todd.
Oh.
And
can you fill this? I've been in,
I'm just looking at Nick's face.
I've been in New
Google.
York for 15 years.
Google it,
Dr.
Danger.
I'm on my phone right
yeah,
now.
He's, yeah. Yeah.
He was on American.
Well, that is awesome. So do y'all plan to do any kind of.
Oh, he's already planning it.
You're going
to
do something.
I didn't even get to tell my own children.
Oh,
you know,
my God.
I was asleep, and he got on the phone the next morning, and he was like a giddy teenager,
just texting everybody. He told my brothers. He told my children.
Oh, that's
he told
awesome.
My best friends.
This could be like, quite a wedding. It could involve a burning, flying school bus.
Well, you know, there will
he's
be fire.
He's a daredevil. He I'm is. Reading about him. Every picture that he's in is surrounded by flames. And I don't mean...
He's yeah, a fire... He's a very... Yeah, we need to get him on the show one
yeah,
of these days.
You truly do.
Talk
yeah,
about his antics.
Because, you know, his passion is to play two roles, the dentist in Little Shop,
in Little Shop.
Oh, Riff yeah. Raff.
Okay.
Which I can see him actually doing both.
I could actually see him doing both.
And yeah. he's actually a singer-songwriter as well.
Get out of town.
Yeah.
Well, that's
seriously.
Good. So, well, yeah. now we're learning a lot about Dr.
Reverb
Danger.
Reverb Nation, music of Dr. Danger.
There you go. So, do y'all have that's a big deal.
It is.
And do y'all have a date set?
Absolutely not.
Good.
Just happened on Saturday.
Well,
Mazel
Tov, as my people say.
That is so exciting.
Thank
oh, we
thank
should
you.
Say Happy Yom Kippur because that's starting right now.
You don't do Happy Yom Kippur.
No, I know. But what would you say?
You go, you like hit yourself, you flagellate.
I know, but you got to acknowledge it on yourself.
Mea culpa, mea maxima culpa.
I guess you wouldn't be listening.
Not much happy about it.
David, what are you doing for Yom Kippur?
I'm in Tech Week for Sweeney Todd. I'm definitely paying some dues.
Okay. So I saw you come in today, and it was nice to see you not limping as I have seen you limp so much lately. So your knees are doing pretty good, it seems.
Yeah, I've lost some weight, and that's helped a lot.
It's good. You look good. You look. You look svelte and beautiful. So what's
okay? I have two words for you: lens crafters.
Yeah. Well, I have. I will counter with two of my own: Costco.
Yeah, but you returned those glasses. You didn't
I
like
did.
The prescription they
I
gave
did.
You.
Well, I couldn't see. That's I think one of the things that you want to do with glasses. So what is up with you? You're still teaching at Kids Acting.
I've got 5 classes at Kids Acting,
okay.
and. I'm getting ready in 2 weeks to start working at Hendrickson High School on their big musical.
Their big musical. What are they doing?
They're doing In the Heights.
Oh, we talked about that.
Exciting.
And they are going to be part of Greater
Austin
Gatsma, High School
yes.
musical, uh-huh. Peter Wars. I refuse to call it Gatsmita.
Thank you.
I refuse. It's the
it
worst acronym ever.
Tongue,
I think everybody leaves off the last ta. They just say Gatsma.
No, they say Gatsmita.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, when okay. they say
those
it.
Of us that are in the inner circle.
Oh, yeah. the inner circle. Okay, sorry. I'm not in the inner circle.
Yeah, and there are.
Poor Nick doesn't know
Nick's
what we're talking about.
No, actually, Nick knows exactly what we're talking about.
I do. I just I don't know enough about people calling it stuff.
Yeah.
I just go. I'm actually joining the guts.
Are you?
We're
God bless you.
We have a certain amount of anonymity.
Oh,
with
that's
that,
true.
So
we can't really say who in this room might be a part of.
Oh, well, edit that out.
No, we're not. Lisa doesn't edit.
But that, and then I got my church gig at MCC Austin. And
right, in MCC Austin, you do, and we've had you and oh my God, I lost his name,
Daniel Arredondo.
Daniel Arredondo on the show once when y'all did your Broadway series.
Yes,
you doing that again this year?
We will be having our 10th anniversary this year.
When does that happen?
Wow. In July.
Will you try to remember to call us and tell us and let us
try
get you back on the show?
Try to remember.
What
to
do you
call
do? You know what you're doing?
Lisa, no, I don't
that's
know
from
yet.
That's the Fantastics, by the way.
Yes,
just
I don't
so
know yet.
Because I want to play, good. I want to play the old actor, or the I really want to play the old actor in that.
Yes.
Well, you know who the old actor is in the reality of it. The old actor is based on B. Iden Payne, who was the professor of
Stephen Schwartz. Shoot, what's his name? He went to
Schmidt.
UT. Schmidt. Yeah. Because that show was written here.
Here at UT. Mm-hmm. Yep. And they wrote in the old actor as a tribute to their professor,
B.I.
Payne.
That is a great story.
Wow, I didn't
know
that.
Well, and the funny thing is, what we're listening to right now in the background is the whole sword fight part of the original Fantastics.
Everybody get your swords. Indians ready.
It's just magic how things happen.
It's just
like that.
Well, thank you guys for joining us back here amongst the dumpsters.
Hey, thanks for having us.
And
fun to be here.
Good luck with the show. Good luck
Thank
with the
you.
Marriage.
Thank
I hope
you.
I get an invitation.
Of course,
I can eat fire, so I'll bring my fire eating.
Do you
sticks.
Eat fire?
I do.
Well, then
I did.
You guys can have a fire eat off if that's such a thing.
That just sounds
so wrong.
I was like, you better not tell Stuart Moulton because he'll fly down just to fire eat with both. All
well, we'll
guys.
Have him trapeze
yeah,
on
we'll
fire.
Trapeze in. Well, great. Thank you guys.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.